We have two guests in the studio with us. Cynthia Martin and Lawrence LaRouche have joined us. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Guys and gals. Thanks for coming in. Lawrence and Cynthia have come in, as I mentioned earlier, to tell us about, well, a couple of things, actually. You've got the show coming up in at the old jail in Larignal towards the end of July. And you've also got a big tour throughout the province of Ontario. You don't go outside of the province, do you, as part of this tour?
Well, we've got a number of shows between now and the end of the year. It's kind of a crazy time for us.
Does it qualify as a tour?
Well, it's hard to say.
Not really, because we're not going to be on the road. We're going to be stationary.
For long periods of time in a lot of the places.
So that makes it a little bit more
manageable
and civilized.
Palatable, yeah.
Yes, okay.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll get all those details after. But I do want to hear about this this show that you're planning for Larignal. We went to see your show last summer. It was really fabulous. Is it going to be very similar to that, or have you got some new elements?
Yeah, I know. It'll be made up of some new elements. We're trying to incorporate ideas and concepts for a whole family. Last year was really focused. We didn't even take children into consideration while telling the story of Houdini. This year, we're going to do a work on some or present some mentalism, but we're going to try to find ways of doing it so that it is entertaining for children as well. I think we're really good at that. We take very sophisticated illusions and magical effects and stuff and dress them up so that they're still very enticing to the young, people.
Well, I would testify to that you are very good at that. Also, the mentalism. I mean, we saw Louise and I attended the one that you did at Arbery Gallery around Valentine's Day. And,
That was a lot of fun for us.
Quite unique, too. I think. Yeah. Quite special.
It's a different genre of magic, which we were very interested in exploring because. We've been touring on the road for over 30 years, and
were saying it's a lot less physical than the kind of stuff you're doing
that's
now, right?
That's the kind of show that
fits. No straitjackets.
It's right. Or it's the illusions. Dragging those.
We like to say mentalism packs small.
Yeah, it plays big.
Travels light.
Yeah.
It's in the theater of your mind.
Exactly. People are very fascinated when you touch upon personal things that are supposedly locked up in their minds, you know? And it's an interesting game to play, too. And you can have a lot of fun, as we did that day.
Oh,
it was
we certainly
a lot of fun.
Did. Everybody had a great time. It was quite, and sort of pushing the boundaries in certain areas. And it was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Because we've been doing it for so long, it is 30 years.
Absolutely.
And so we have to keep things interesting for ourselves
for sure.
as well.
Yeah,
so we're tapping into some new. I thought
you were going to say you also have this level of telepathy between you that you can actually communicate with
them. Well, there
talking.
Is that.
That's
that
right.
That certainly comes into
She
play.
Knows when I'm in trouble.
When he starts to read
before
like
you
Darth
do,
Vader
right?
on stage, he does this sort of. And I go, uh-oh, something's amiss. Yeah, I have to figure out what it is.
Exactly.
But
that's interesting, yeah.
Well, that's what happens with people who work together for many, many years. You get to learn all that little stuff. And unfortunately, I have a show for the Muslim community in Ottawa on the 17th, which is the last day of camp, which we're doing right now.
Teaching at camp.
She cannot come. So I have had to hire somebody to come with me to do the show, and that is going to be really weird to have somebody
else.
Somebody else.
Somebody
unfamiliar.
That doesn't know when you're in trouble. Yeah. Somebody that doesn't know the signs.
Yes.
So Larry might just stay in that tank a little bit longer than should have.
No, luckily, I won't be doing that.
Well, that's good news. Yeah. Okay. So, give us a little bit more details about. So, is it going to still be the life and times of Houdini, but focusing not at all.
Nope, not at all.
So
we're doing a completely different show.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we're doing a completely different show. I think it ran almost, it was late. I mean, it was almost like a 2.5-3 hour production. It was crazy, wasn't it?
It was too.
And they had an intermission. We're just trying to create a show that is about an hour and a half.
Okay.
And we might go straight through without intermission. And like I said, we'll bring some colorful illusions with us, but we're also going to toy around, expand on that whole mentalism aspect of magic. And again, I'm still putting things together to make it exciting and fun to watch. So It'll be very interesting.
And we'll throw in some of the family favorites that everybody
Oh, yes,
loves
of course,
see.
That chocolate milk trick, which everybody for 30 years have been... Oh, do the chocolate milk trick.
Do the milk trick. I'm just going to ask about that.
We travel all over the place, and we do shows in all kinds of different venues, and people will call us back year after year, and they always say, it doesn't matter how big the illusions are, fantabulous that we bring.
Yeah.
Are you going to do the milk trick again?
That's the first trick I saw you do.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah.
It's memorable. A long time ago at the Van Cleek Hill Fairgrounds for Canada Day.
That's,
oh, wow.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
right. That's
yeah.
right. Oh, gee,
it's
whiz.
A popular one.
That's fun.
In
yeah.
a dairy community. Good choice.
Well, that's
there
it,
you, go.
You know. And I have the chocolate sauce, which I could get probably sponsorship for.
Yeah.
Quick.
Absolutely, yeah. Nestle's fun. Quick. One tablespoon.
Right.
That used to be one of my favorite drinks
that's
actually
right.
when I was a kid. Yeah. Okay. So, and the hours of this presentation, do we have an idea of what time you guys are going to be on?
You know, they're starting a little earlier this year, aren't they? Like 7:30 or something.
Yeah,
did it start at 8
so.
last year?
I think it was 8. It went till around 10:30.
We're expecting more of a family crowd
yes.
than last year.
Okay.
So we're starting a little earlier.
Okay, that's good. 7:30 in the nice tent that they've got set up there in the
ground. That's right.
Yeah.
In the prison exercise yard, I guess it was at the
That's right. Is that
it's
where it was?
Yeah. It is.
With the gallows overlooking everything.
Yes. Just to put you in the right mood.
Yeah.
I had a question. I know last year it was really a lot of timing involved. You had a lot of tricks with props and equipment, and there was you know I saw Cynthia and your daughter. You were working really hard, bringing
yes.
on stuff, taking
that
it off.
That stage is small,
tiny,
we're
and so maybe
to,
the
yeah.
mentalist thing will be a little bit easier.
It'll help.
Yeah.
It'll help.
Yeah.
It'll help. But we also want to bring some new, larger illusions. So we're trying to figure out how to do that and where to put it.
Where were you putting stuff like off stage? Was it just on grass back there?
Yeah, we were lifting it up.
It was a challenge.
We built a ramp
just
to get stuff.
Well,
up.
It didn't show. Like I was seated way over on the left, so I could sort of see that. But that was kudos to you.
Yeah, that was really the stage
management.
It's
like in choreography,
alone.
Trying to
yes.
figure out, okay, this one's going to sit there and it's going to come up from that side and then we have to get rid of
it's
it.
A
so
dance.
It's going to go there while we bring this. So it's a...
Yeah,
all that goes into the planning
I'd like to
the
try
show.
To make it work, no matter how difficult. We get calls from a lot of people to bring shows in some pretty unusual situations. And I try never to say no. I always try to figure it out. There's got to be a way to make it happen, and we just you know, I say I bend over backwards to try to make it happen. But unfortunately, sometimes
you
trade off.
Literally.
Yeah, bend over backwards. But it's sometimes there's a cost to pay, and that is a bit of clumsiness on occasion. They're never banging into each other.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking back to the magic show that you guys did at VCI in the fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if you heard this from other people, but quite a few people told me that they thought the little medical incident that happened in the audience
right
at the beginning of the show was actually planned and part
really?
Of your show. Yeah,
I'm not there yet. You know what?
I just thought you might want to incorporate that into your mentalist thing. You know, like you heal somebody from the stage or something. I'm being light about it because the person that had a little incident, but they recovered completely from it, so there was nothing. But it actually involved the ambulance coming and taking them out
and
stopping
and
the show.
And is there a doctor in the house?
And there was.
And
there were two.
And some nurses.
And some nurses as well.
He was very
lucky.
We planned it very well.
He was well cared for.
Yeah, right.
And and that very, I think the very weekend after that show was on, he was at the farmer's market telling us he was fine and everything was good. So
Well, his daughter sent us an email.
Yeah, she sent us
and
an
asked
email.
If there was a show we were doing because he wanted to see. He wanted to actually see the
show.
He missed the whole show.
Yeah,
it was.
But that added a certain level of stress and time challenges as well, right?
Certainly did for us.
Yeah. It did for especially the girls and Zadia. Yeah, it affected her tremendously. Yeah. Her underwater. She did the underwater escape last year, and it really affected her. Plus, the water was cold in the tank. That affected her. I completely didn't take that into account. It was hot earlier that day.
But it had cooled off because
It had cooled off, and she didn't have her goggles.
Okay.
And so that anything that throws you off like that, because you practice every day, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And it has to be. Everything's got to be perfectly choreographed, because after 3 minutes, your body begins to shift its importance where that oxygen goes and shuts you down.
Yeah.
You know, and you become, we have to go and get you. But you were just bringing up the fact that we may have planned that whole thing at the beginning. There are magicians who do that just to generate the tension like a failed underwater escape or something like that. Come back next week and we will do it, you know. I think there was an incident recently with Chris Angel.
There was, on
television.
And they actually engineered a failure?
Well, we can't say that. It's just that it was a perfect promo for his new show coming up.
There you go.
The Impossibilist, I believe it was. Okay. And the underwater, he was doing an underwater escape. And I've seen him do this underwater escape many times. It's a full view. But they just show a clip of him, well, supposedly unconscious, and everybody jumping up and unlocking the case and getting him out. But stay tuned next week.
Yes.
So you kind of wonder, oh, come on.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, so I'm going to go take a little musical break here and come back and see if you give us some details about... Oh, you better get plugged in there, Louise. Yeah, here we go. Give us some details about what you've got planned for your other shows coming up.
There is a mother's trembling heart is beating
love song for a vampire. That certainly conjures up a certain mood, certain ambiance. Lawrence, what is it about that piece of music that makes you inspired you to use it as part of your show?
Well, we saw the movie Bram Stoker's Dracula by it was Francis Ford Coppola, it blown away at the time. The visuals in it were gorgeous, and this song, and my costume was beginning to take shape at that time. I was actually looked like this Dracula character. With the top hat and the blue glasses and all that stuff.
Right.
And we developed, we were trying to do the razor blade swallowing routine where it's like the needle one except done with razor blades.
Okay.
Because it's more visible from an audience point of view. And this song, it was perfect for us. We wanted to try something very sensuous and we decided to do the whole swallowing of the ribbon, a red ribbon, I believe it was, and then a pile of razor blades, and then Cynthia would walk up to me slowly and just kiss me, and then as she pulled away, she actually bit the end of the ribbon, the red ribbon, and pulled backwards, and then slowly as she goes back, all the razor blades would slowly fall and dangling on the ribbons.
Nice effect.
Yeah, it was a very nice, we didn't do it that many times, but I guess we went in another direction. About a year or something like that.
Cool. Yeah. So. And so this music sort of just sustained kind of image.
Absolutely.
And it
had a connection, with vampires and stuff like that.
Yes. That alone brings up the whole idea of blood, everybody's hoping for, right?
Right.
And I bet you the red
ribbon.
Well,
we had a little trickle,
Oh, yeah.
Well, showbiz, you got to give them what they want.
Of course. He's coming out for a bit of blood. That's interesting. Yeah. So this is sort of a behind the scenes look at how you put your show together. I think Louise has tracked down the next one that we wanted to play. What have you got there, Louise?
I've got the mirror song. There was entire movies, it just looks like there's one one cut, but anyway, all of the songs are inside that. I just sent you a link by email.
So what was the inspiration for, just to set it up before we listen
to it? Well, this is an illusion which where Cynthia gets into this sort of a vertical box.
Very small.
Very small vertical box. She's all dressed up in a particular costume. And what happens is this box, once it closes, it is then halved. Inside. It's pushed down so it becomes only half the size. And a lot of people think she's already jumped out the back or something like that. So her hand comes popping out the front. And I have someone from the audience on stage with me to shake her hand. And the music is kicked in by now, and the audience is usually clapping at this point. And then what happens is I transform her into, I put all these frames in there, these empty frames, and I transform her into a photograph. I pull it out, but she becomes a photograph, a flat photograph, and I open the box, and it's totally empty. And I have that person who has joined me on stage, put their hand through the on both sides of the box to prove she's not hiding in the walls or anything like that. And then what happens, I take the photograph and turn it around as a whole, it's Cynthia again, but with a different costume on. And I put all the photographs back into the box, re-expand it, and then open the door, and she comes out dressed in that costume. And it's just that it was the most challenging illusion for Cynthia to do because she's very claustrophobic. And it's a bizarre job to have. She's basically called a box jumper in the industry.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, a box jumper.
That's the terminology.
And
they're not usually claustrophobic.
Claustrophobic because, my goodness. Well, I mean,
generally, that's not in the job description.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it got to a point where, I mean, when she just heard the music, she began to sweat and shake. So we just couldn't eventually do it anymore. And it was in storage. And I recently sold it to someone in Toronto.
Oh, cool.
So it's been, I've redesigned it.
So it lives on.
It lives on. Nobody else has one anywhere in the world like that. So it's
There's a reason for that. Actually, when we sold it, the magician and his assistant came we would train them. And she was about 6 inches shorter than I am and probably weighed about 90 pounds soaking wet, and she couldn't fit into the box. He actually rebuilt it for her, and I was there,
lame.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Kept going, size difference.
Yeah, I didn't understand that at all myself.
And for how many years had you been squeezing yourself into that box?
God, we did that for a long time.
Very long time.
Yeah, we did that for probably a dozen years.
Yeah,
easily.
Yeah, at least, yeah. And it transformed. You know, I didn't have money to use metal. I made it of wood. Then we made it. So it had a huge
life.
We
could never rehearse it. I could not do it
right,
in
that
rehearsal.
Was the other thing.
I could only ever do it in front of a live audience
right.
Because
you needed that extra impetus.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, because the panic would set in rehearsal, and I thought,
Holy smokes.
Break my way out. Yeah. I have to.
This is such an insight.
Zadia has had, has
she's
a little bit of
that.
She's better, but she's a little bit.
Because
I make her and Zadia disappear.
Kudos to her, because she could get into handcuffs and in a closed tank of water.
Talk about claustrophobic.
Couldn't
my
do
goodness.
That either.
That's true.
Is it the thought that you'll get wedged in there and you can't get out, or
what claustrophobia?
Being restrained in water. The sensation of not being able to move and
not
then having
air.
The air around
air.
You getting warmer doesn't
that's
do much for me.
It's freaky.
So you know, I control it. I mean, we have other illusions that are small. I get through them. I give myself tasks to do. I do brain exercises.
Well, one illusion, you were unscrewing the screws inside.
Yeah.
That's not good.
You have to check the screws because that was one of the things I gave myself to do. Oh, look.
In that case, all the legs falling off.
I would almost be worried that I would lose air and go unconscious, and then the whole trick would be ruined too. Like if you fainted in there.
Well,
revealing too much, but
usually when you go into panic attacks, I know when my knees get cold, that's my cue that,
oh, really?
It's coming. Yeah, my knees go cold, and then it sort of creeps up the body. But I don't ever think I would pass out. It's more of a,
I don't know. Like when claustrophobia to me is when I see, you know, these people that go into spelunking into caves, and these guys that are down there with air tanks, and they take the tank off so they can go through a crack in the wall, you know, and then pull it through. And I thought,
unrehearsed. Yeah, that's bizarre.
Could not do that. It's dark, and you don't know what's in there, and
it's you don't know how far that tunnel goes, right?
Yeah, it's exactly. That
gives
me nightmares. That gives me nightmares. You would hope so. Anyhow, what you guys do is along those lines, you know, because people, I mean, we've witnessed it, you know, we've witnessed sitting in the audience and this kind of pall falls over the whole room, like especially during the water tank, you know, and people are
That had a lot of build-up last year.
Yes.
You could just feel this big collective. I know we're on the radio. Oh, shit. You know, people were not checking their phones at that point. Everybody was focused on the stage.
It was quite powerful,
but it's such it's like you have said, Lawrence, that you know you don't know what's real and what's an illusion. You've already done things that one does not know how they are possible,
where the line
is. There's a trust there. We're trusting it's going to work out, but yet there's, you know,
that
this
element of
the sledgehammer at the side,
and
that
it's not like it hasn't
to
happened
be used,
you know, accidents.
And everybody knows this
everybody
could
knows.
Be the night that something will go wrong, but you know, there's a tremendous amount of nervous tension, and we're not even in the. But for that moment, we are part of the illusion. We're right there, watching. That's what was so electric.
You know, that's part of the entertainment aspect. That tension and that fear is what you're paying for, and that's that's how it's designed. You know, I've written articles for Magic magazines and stuff like that about danger and entertainment and how some of the ridiculous accidents that have happened in the past. And it's just, I got into the tank for the first time this summer because Zadia decided she doesn't, you know, she's not interested in doing, after that night, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
That she just wasn't interested in that beauty anymore. She has her own life anyway. She always complains, how come Nathan doesn't have to come back and help out anymore? But after the lid went on, you know, you get this really bizarre Holy good. And all the practicing that you've done, picking the lock behind your bloody neck is a real chore. And if it doesn't happen within the first 10 to 15 seconds, everything changes. Your heart, and you have to calm down. You have to totally calm down.
Because you start burning up your oxygen.
Exactly. Right. And it's amazing. Just the heartbeat and just moving in the water burns that oxygen. And you burn... It's you're fighting that ache to breathe.
Yeah.
And the instructions basically are saying you don't actually have to breathe for at least 2.5 to 3 minutes. And then that's when that weird stuff starts taking place. But that sensation, that panicky sensation to breathe is what you're fighting that whole time. And it gets easier and easier and easier. Remember, like when I first went down?
Yes.
And then suddenly it just got longer and longer because I got used to that sensation, and I said I can go longer.
And you think,
longer.
Well, that's what
I can
that
go
is.
Longer. Yeah,
and then you can.
And you get used to that, and you just learn to cope with it.
I totally
but
don't understand.
But it's not.
It.
I gotta say, it's not a pleasant thing to deal with, but it's interesting enough to continue.
Interesting.
It is interesting enough to continue, and then of course playing around with locks and keys and the chains and stuff. That's also really fun. To learn how to
and
do it.
You because it's such a, I mean, an underwater escape, it's just, it's big. Mm-hmm. You can tell that it's just as scary for everybody. I mean, if it was something that was easy, it wouldn't be an attraction.
I think everybody can relate to it, being underwater and not being able to breathe.
Mm. Oh,
you
yes,
can automatically
for sure.
relate
yeah.
to that. Yeah. Houdini himself, it was one of his biggest fears as a child, too. And so he just dealt with it.
Yeah, you know? It's like, you know, there's the magical... what was that movie we were watching? Or was it Sherlock Holmes? And they had this Chinese magician and they were throwing knives. And I mean, I think you have an illusion
that
like that.
That was a Sherlock Holmes episode.
It was that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you can watch that and be terrified that something bad will happen, but I'm not going to put myself in a position where people throw knives at me. But
right.
I could go underwater.
Yeah.
And that could happen, you know,
right.
so that...
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have anybody throw knives at me. I don't care how good they are.
Trickery.
So
trickery. Illusion.
Anyway, we had started this little segment with an introduction to the mirror song that we wanted to play here. So you were...
And that was Picture Perfect. That
yes.
was the name of that illusion where we use a song.
Okay,
bumped into it while watching that movie. So, oh, hey, that's a song that's actually about illusion and nothing that makes sense. So it's perfect.
Okay, let's listen to it and... we'll see how it fits in.
These are the There's no single circumstance. I never took a final chance. I made myself a thing that you could see and touch forever. You always look the same from every angle and never cast a shadow that would change the way I thought about your very being. That what we were seeing would always be. Would always be. Would always be. Would always be the truth.
So that's called the Mirror Song. Pretty interesting little beat to it. And you both reacted physically when we started playing it. It's loaded for you, eh?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Cynthia,
more Cynthia than me.
My heart rate definitely went up a little.
I just worry for
when
her.
I hear that music.
A little Pavlovian
you're
response.
You're on. When that song is, you hear it, you're instantly there.
I guess part of it is muscle memory. So it just, when it hears that, it's like
tensing up,
getting ready. An athlete, you know, hearing their music, they know they're on. So that comes on, and my body goes, "Uh-oh."
But how is it that you could get it in the box? Like, do you just kind of shrink yourself somehow?
Oh, Louise. Can't be divulged.
If you go to YouTube,
well, I know you would do the impossible.
It has nothing to do with me, right? It's all him.
Watch it on YouTube, okay? If you type it, Mad Jinx. Picture perfect, it's there, and you'll see it's bizarre. Yeah, it's there. It's up there.
Okay, we gotta check that in.
Picture perfect, and it's there.
Well, that sounds like a perfect piece of music to accompany that stressful.
The audience liked it.
Yeah,
it was a great trick.
It was.
I wouldn't have done.
We always had great. A lot of people looked at her, looked at the box, and wondered.
That's so cool. So, speaking about your illusions, we got a chance, as I mentioned, but when we saw your show, in La Rignale, I didn't see so much moving them around. But afterwards at VCI, we were sort of watching you guys move the different apparatus down the hall and into your van and saw how they went in there.
Right.
So is that a part of what you're doing now when you're doing your shows in Ontario? Do you have to move all of your equipment there?
Yeah. Okay. That's what wants us to get into psychic stuff.
That's a magic act in and of itself, I think. You know?
Yeah, learning how to pack.
Yeah, when people call to ask us to do a show for them and they'll ask our fee and we say the show's free, but packing and unpacking can be expensive.
That's what you're paying for,
not fun part.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're trying to. We just bought a new truck to transport that Houdini show. We want to try to do it so that it all fits in truck rather than having to pull a trailer.
Yes.
It's a rehearsal. Everything has it's like that game. What's that game that you play where you put
Tetris?
Yeah, exactly.
Fitting all the pieces together.
Often it has been the stage managers when we get there is how did you get all this stuff in that truck? You know, that van. It's not really a truck. It's a van, and that's it's just. It's just, in some respects, we like arriving with the illusions built, which is great because you just wheel them on stage, do the show, and then wheel them off. It's a real somewhat of a drag when you have to start taking everything apart.
Unassembling and then reassembling together. But that's the only way that you can actually fit it into the van.
That's how you can do it. Yeah, that's the only way. That's the trade-off.
Yeah.
You know,
so cool. And you design and build most, if not all, of your illusions, right?
Pretty much all. The closest thing to buying an illusion that already exists, I might do that, but I'll take it apart and put it back together again. In a different way, like Squisher and stuff like that. I've been designing illusions since I was 11 or 12 years old, even if they didn't work back then. It's just I used to watch a show called The Magician with Bill Bixby, and remember that? That was a long time ago. I was so inspired by that. And every time at the end of the show, I draw pictures of how I thought those illusions worked and how they built. And I just carried that on.
You actually design and build them for other magicians?
Yep, that's right. I do that on down times. I was just talking to another magician who called me up the other day. I just don't have the time to do that right now. He wanted me to do something with a letterbox where a letter disappears and reappears. It was a love story. It was a great concept for a magic trick. Mm-hmm. But I just didn't have the time. But they will come to me with maybe an idea, and what I'll do is I'll put it through the mill, the imagination mill, and just try to figure out not only the concept, beginning, middle to the end, but also the method of how to do it. And everyone's, a lot of magicians, they don't have money. So when I do it, I don't charge what I should charge. I do it because I love, you know, to be part of it somehow, to be able to contribute.
This is your passion showing.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, so that's, but like, that's a little, right now, I haven't done anything in a while because we've got so many shows coming up that don't exist that I've already signed contracts for. So I'm freaking out. And, this is only in Bankley Hill, right?
Yeah.
So I got to move my butt. And we have shows, at the CNE, which I still have to build for bits and pieces, and then Casa Loma in Toronto, which was originally supposed to be magic. It revolved around Jack Frost. And so it was all about ice and snow, and I just loved it, the idea, but they've changed it now to the magic of Toyland. So, I mean, it's okay, but I was really intrigued by the idea of working with ice and snow because some images came to mind.
A lot more provocative in terms of...
Well, yeah. But so as soon as we get back home from the CNE, which is September 7th, 8th, bang, we have to immediately get started. And a Houdini show we've sold to Midland and Perry Sound. So that's going to be all the new stuff. We've spent a lot of money building that show up with new backdrops and... illusions that we've incorporated into it. So those have to be polished off and rehearsed. We still haven't rehearsed, and I'll be probably calling you for help for that. You know, so anyway, it's a lot of work coming up, and that's why it's going to be crazy.
But you've mentioned a couple of destinations or towns that have booked you. Give us just an overview of some of the locations you're going to be going to in Ontario. You mentioned Midland, Toronto, of course.
Right. Well, I mean, the two big contracts are the CNE in Toronto, which is a 15-day presentation, five shows a day, plus I have my optical illusion display there, and it's a school situation, so we're performing, but I'm also teaching children, you know, giving them a little introduction into magic as well. It's a very interesting, it's Professor Wick's World of Wonders is what it is. It's a big building they gave me.
And it's got lots of interactive optical illusions. It's kind of neat because the whole family's come through there and they all get a kick
they get
out
inside.
Of it.
Yeah,
it's just,
I bet.
You
I
know,
love
it's that kind of stuff playing with the mind and the little kids never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
Parents are intrigued, so it opens up that communication, which is always
there are photo
nice
ops where they can make themselves look like they're floating or being cut in half and stuff like that. It works on camera. I mean, I'm not allowed giving things away, but for the camera, it's set up for that.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's
so, I mean, and before that, well, like I said, I got to go to Ottawa. We got to do the Muslim, and it's the Eid festival in Ottawa. And I have to be careful. I'm not allowed to use the word magic because it's evil. So I'm strictly an illusionist. But some of the things I'm going to do there is going to come across, especially the psychic stuff, is going to come across really weird, but whatever. Yeah. And I'm going to be on my own with just some, you know, paid assistant. It's not the same thing at all.
Oh. Did you know that sometimes assistants get paid, Cynthia? Or
news to me.
Let that one out of the bag.
That's why magicians always have their wives with them. Well, anyway, so it's so Toronto, and then we do the it was in the gig.
Midland, they were in Niagara on the Lake.
The steampunk.
They do a Grand Canadian steampunk exposition there. And
I was going to ask if you're still sticking to the steampunk
theme. Yeah, I mean,
that suits you guys so well.
Yeah, we love it.
Cool. We do. We absolutely do.
Did you go see the show over at Arbor Gallery? This sounds like a tangential, but there's some nice pieces of steampunk art there right now.
Yeah, actually. One of the artists actually we connected with through the Ottawa Steampunk Society.
Oh, yeah.
Ron, who had some really cool pieces over there. Yeah, so I knew about him through there. And then he said, you guys are doing a show at the Arbor Gallery? Yeah. I'm going to be doing an exhibit there. I was like, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
I love it.
He's got an EKG lamp. You know, like it's
right. Some cool stuff.
Oh, it's so neat.
Yeah,
he's
good.
We love that.
I loved it was a body, right? Made up of all
kinds of
mechanical
pieces. Yeah, he had some stuff there at the Eros.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Too.
Well, it's a perfect genre for magic. Machines that do impossible things.
Yes. You know, it's automatons and all that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Long tradition there.
Oh, very, very, very. And very interesting, too. And there's some good footage on YouTube of some of these things in action. It's amazing what they do. Some of them are tricks, but some of them are real.
Yeah.
You know, like there's somebody in there, some of them, you know, and they're hidden by mirrors.
What?
How is that even possible?
Yeah.
It's not possible. Yeah. That's why you need a magician.
That's right.
To present it to us. So you mentioned that you there's a stretch in at the CNE again in December.
That's at Casa Loma.
Casa Loma.
Wonderful space.
That's a beautiful space. We've been performing there for about 15 years almost, off and on.
Yeah. Cool.
We may have missed 3 or 4 years here and there. But the city has bought it, so things have changed there quite a bit. They used to have a program every year that ran in December, and they would always just tell me a theme, and I would design a show that fit in the glass room or the library.
The conservatory.
Conservatory.
Yeah,
yes.
Such a beautiful space.
Gorgeous space. And I did the fairy show there, which was one of my favorite shows put together. I put pictures about that on Facebook, how I developed the show and stuff. And it was such a cool show. The kids were so into it. My challenge was to make fairies come to life in front of the kids. And I used some of the old techniques of flea circuses, but bigger. Where the fairy would dive into the water would splash, and I would take it out and put on a branch to bend.
Would you still do that?
I'd love to bring that show back. Well, that's one that I really loved. I did a whole bit about the story of the Cottingley fairies, which people haven't heard a whole lot about.
I'm getting an idea.
The light bulb just went off over Louise's head.
Well, you're going to share?
Well, I just think that it would be great. The Review might sponsor that show closer to, but I'll have to check your schedule because there's a lot of fundraisers going on for Sasha's Park where kids,
all kids can play.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll talk later. You sound like you have a really hectic schedule in December for sure, but maybe November.
But Casa Loma, that's such a fantastic
It's a beautiful
venue.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wanted to do the Houdini show there.
Yeah,
I asked them, but they just couldn't. I wanted to do a partnership with them because I just love the venue. But the logistics, and it's rented a lot for weddings and stuff. Like that's what was
the
very
nights
difficult.
Are booked there. And the books, so they do daytime shows.
Oh,
and
yeah.
At night, it's weddings.
One of my best experiences at Casa Loma was we did a series of radio dramas at CBC on Canadian eccentrics, I think.
Oh, yeah. That fits.
Yeah, and one of them was the architect that designed them. Or I guess the person that commissioned the architect to design that place. Well, I can't remember his name.
Yeah,
Was it Lennox?
Pellet, that's it.
Sir Henry Pellet, that's right. Yeah. But the architect was the same one that designed the old City Hall in Toronto, I think Lennox. And so that whole story. And so we booked the place for a day, and I went through it, every room that was included in the radio drama, to record the doors opening and closing and footsteps on the... Because all of the architecture was so unique that it had special sound to it. The tunnel, you know, that connects and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So recorded tons and
tons
of sound.
The secret pathways.
So because they couldn't, rent the place for 7 days to record the radio drama, so I got sort of all the ambient sounds, and then we mixed it in the studio with the actors. But it was
A lot of movies have been made there. It's used a lot in
The X-Men.
Conservatory.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And they were mad because in Vancouver, I believe they recreated it. So they lost the business here. They recreated the Casa Loma interior scene to destroy it.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, it was a battle scene. Something like that.
Yeah. Interesting. Anyhow, more magic as the theme continues. Really appreciate you guys coming in today to tell us what you've been up to and especially, I guess, highlight the event. We'll just reiterate that. Remind me again the date.
July 25th.
July 25th at the Old Jail in L'Arignal. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be at 7:30.
Yeah.
Again, I really appreciate you coming in and telling us about it. Thanks for coming in again.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.